Good morning and welcome to episode 125 of Taking the Charge with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by and listening to the show. Actually, we have plenty to talk about and unfortunately I don't have a ton of time. I am busy actually doing a bunch of non-basketball stuff, which is very unfortunate. But it's part of life, I guess. And so I'm going to try to keep it a little short this week. I guess, first of all, want to take care of the housekeeping. You can catch me on HeinNews.com is the website. I am on Twitter at HeinNews, HeinNews. You can find us in the Facebook group, and the Facebook group is called Taking the Charge. Just go to Facebook.com, put in Taking the Charge, and ask to join the club. And, of course, we will invite you in, and there's a nice community there, and we're having a good time there. What else is there? iTunes. Please go to iTunes, rate and review us. That would be very helpful. And email, if you want to contact me, you can catch me either on Twitter in the Facebook group, or you can send me an email at hinews.gmx.de. We do have two interviews this week. I'm not going to say they're old interviews, but they're a little bit older. Kind of just haven't been used yet, so I want to put those out there. But before we do that, I do want to talk a little bit about a couple of things going on. First of all, congratulations to the Atlanta Hawks for putting together a great 19-game winning streak. Very impressive. I didn't see that coming. I figured they might be a pretty decent team, but I did not see them being, until their loss against New Orleans, the best team in the NBA. Right now, they are just percentage points behind Golden State with two more victories. It's a big victory by New Orleans. New Orleans is fighting for the final playoff spot in the West. They're a game behind Phoenix and two games ahead of Oklahoma City. So that was a big victory for them to keep Oklahoma City at arm's length. The other team of note, I guess, right now is Cleveland. They were struggling at 19 and 20, and 11 game winning streak later, they are 10 games over 500, a half game behind Chicago for the fourth spot, and 1.5 games behind Washington, and just 3.5 behind Toronto for second place in the East, which obviously would get them home court advantage for everything besides a possible Atlanta series. I don't want to talk too much about NBA since I'm not able to watch too much of it, but I did want to throw that out there. Move over real quick to the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague. There's one undefeated team left, as Real Madrid lost to Maccabi in a pretty good fight, pretty good game. Unfortunately, wasn't able to watch all of it, but watched a little bit of it, and I still think that that Maccabi is a darn good team. I think a guy like Schwarzenegger is key for Maccabi in a game against a team like Real Madrid, who just aren't that big. So they're able to, he's really able to be effective in there. And I think his effectiveness is key to Maccabi. Then in the other group, Olympiacos went down for the first time to Anadolu Efes. They hit some threes and pulled away. It's funny, the we talked about them last week not having the offensive wherewithal to really pull away, and yet there they go. They didn't get very much from Sarge. Sarge scored 4 points. It's a game that actually I watched, but they had some big threes. Draper was 4 for 4, and obviously I think he's gonna be somebody that they're gonna need him to score, you know. And then Janning and Huerta hit 2 threes late as well, to kind of pull away. But it's, you know, this was important victory for them after 2 losses in a row. You know, they stuck to their guns and played tough defense and slowed down Spanoulis. 0 for 6 from the field, just 2 free throws and 3 turnovers. And, you know, if you stop Olympiacos, if you stop Spanoulis, you also stop Olympiacos. Congratulations to Anadolu Efes, a big victory for them. I think slowly but surely you can start looking at the format of the group. You know, I mean, you know the quarterfinal playoffs are going to be 1 against 4, 4 against 1, 2-3, 3-2. If I'm a team like Barcelona, you know, they can't afford too many slip-ups. You know, they won, and obviously they're 3-2 now, but, you know, Panathinaikos are right there at 3-2. And, you know, if whoever slips up and takes that fourth spot in Group E, you know, most likely they're going to get Moscow in the quarterfinals. And that's going to be a tough showdown for anybody. Interesting, you know, right now, the quarterfinal playoffs would be Real Madrid against Efes, Anadolu Efes, Fenerbahce against Maccabi, and then there would be Barcelona against Olympiacos, and Moscow against Panathinaikos. So, fun stuff. Still loads and loads of games. Only 5 weeks in, there's still 9 games left, so... Not totally worth it to talk too much about it, but did want to just address it since I did watch a little bit of that. One thing that I'm trying to keep up on as much as possible is the Pinar International U16 tournament in Konya, which is the host city last summer of the U18 European Championship. It's a U16 tournament, and obviously it's an important tournament because these teams are going to be fighting for qualification for the U17 World Championship in 2016. There's 11 European countries and China, so obviously it's a big... I think this is a great test for China, playing against Turkey, Bosnia, Germany, Italy, and Serbia. And then on the other hand, you have, that's in Group A. Group B, France, Georgia, Latvia, Lithuania, Montenegro, Russia. Georgia's the only team that's in Division B at the U16 level, and Montenegro's coming up. Quite a bit less talent in that group B than in Group A. If you do want to watch it, the games are being shown live on the Turkish Basketball Federation TV website. That's tbftv.org, tbftv.org. They're live streaming from both gyms, so definitely very cool. There's games tonight, February 4th, Wednesday. And then the day off on Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday are the 2 final days. Just really quick, I think it's a great idea, but I really am disappointed that the organizers did this tournament like this, because these kids are playing 5 games in 5 days, which is horrible. I think you're putting them under way too much stress. you know, this kind of length and this kind of this many games in this many days. It's just not right. That being said, there is a lot of talent. There's a lot of talents. So just kind of run down some of the. I wasn't been able to watch all the teams. You know, I'm actually doing some of their work, but trying to catch a little bit here and there. Germany have some very interesting guys. Philipp Herkenhoff is one of their main guys. He's with Artland. David Echeleia. Can't remember exactly off the top of my head where he's with. Vladimir Pinchuk is another big. Isaac Bonga is a long athletic kid who's pretty interesting. If you go to Bosnia, we had Maciej Mac on, the Cedevita general manager, a couple weeks ago, and we talked about Dusan Musa, who they had just signed from a Bosnian, a smaller Bosnian club. And this kid, definitely, you can see why he's big money signing, long-term contract, loads and loads of talent. Still has to work on things, obviously. I mean, he's 16, so that's not a surprise. But, you know, loads and loads of talent. Drive, can't, you know, shooting is a little bit suspect, but, you know, long, athletic. I like him a lot, and I can see why people are really high on him. Some places have him as the number one talent in that in the 99 age group, though. I think is Doncic, is he 99? Anyhow, but definitely way up there. Another nice talent is Sekiros Nagos, who plays with Stella Azzurra. A nice big, you know, does a lot of different things, can shoot a little bit outside, doesn't make loads of mistakes. And their main other guy is Sani Kampara, who plays with Spars. So people know him a little bit. China, unfortunately, I haven't been able really to watch China at all. It seems like they're always playing at times when I'm working on other stuff. Unfortunately, France, I really haven't seen their main guy. One of their main guys is Yves Pons, and you look at him and you see the athleticism, and you know, some people say, you know, question whether or not he's his age, but that's beside the point. Not as bad as some of the Africans, you know, he's definitely one of their main guys. Don't know too much about them. Don't know too much about Latvia. Again, this, you know, most of these teams from Group B, I haven't had a chance to really catch them. One of the biggest names is Artur Skuroc, who's the younger brother of Rodion Skuroc, who was on VEF Riga and who we talked about last week with Christoph Ney, who was at the Adidas Next Generation Tournament. Montenegro again, didn't see anything. Andrei Slavkovic seems to be a big-time scorer, dropped 30 on Latvia in a loss. Italy, I have been able to see a little bit. Lorenzo Di Zardo is a nice lefty shooter. I like the all-around game of Guglielmo Caruso. Probably butchered it anyhow. A nice big who plays defense, is accurate inside, and has a decent athleticism. Nice grouping of talents. There's Michelle Serpili, who's pretty high up on prospect charts, and Federico Boncinini is in the same club with Federico Massini. So that's a guy who I don't know too much about. Didn't really notice him that much, but he's in that group. Georgia, I haven't seen, but I know that Goga Bitadze is being scouted pretty heavily. He's averaging basically 15 and a half, 10 rebounds, and almost three blocks. So I will try to catch a Georgia game, though not sure if I'm going to be able to, but he's probably their main guy. He's, like I said, going to be in Division B in this summer. Latvia, Lithuania, didn't watch them at all, so really can't tell you. Russia seemed to be really, really, again, really bad. Their point guard, Daniel Kasatkin, big blonde kid, and he's just, you know, kind of stands out, you know, haven't really seen enough to really say one way or another if he's got a lot of potential or not. Serbia have a lot of talent. A couple of guys I really like, and Andrija Marjanovic he's with Barcelona already. He's moved on to Barcelona. Decent skill set, kind of athletic. Can't really, you know, hasn't really shot very well at this tournament. Likes to have the ball a lot, so, you know, more of a combo guard. Probably more of a two. Long term, drive to the basket. Like I said, hasn't shot that well. Plays. Not really great defense at all, but and you know, makes quite a few bad decisions, but you know, that might change down the road. I really like Boris Latunovic, sort of a 4-5, decent inside game, you know, pretty efficient offensively. Doesn't hasn't really shot the ball that well, but I think there's better shooting in there. Plays pretty decent defense. Another guy that I really like is Nikola Miskovic, who hasn't been playing a lot, but have been impressed with his game when he's in there. He can definitely shoot from outside, and seems to really enjoy playing defense. Decent rebounder, decent length. Those are some of the guys that stuck out from that team. And then Turkey. I've actually seen quite a bit of Turkey for whatever reason. I don't know why, but we talked when we had Christoph Neyan. We talked about Ahmed Can Duran, Ney's personal cheese ball. And I think there's definitely, you know, he reminds me a lot of Gabriel Deck, the Argentinian big man. Not quite as unorthodox as Deck, but you know, really reminds me a lot about him. Duran he's actually not leading the team in scoring. But he's averaging 16 points, 12 rebounds, and a block a game. He's very good around the basket, and very good rebounder, decent passer, is not athletic. I think one of the main things he's going to need to do is work on his continue to really, really, really work on his footwork, so that he can play, that he can continue to play well inside against players who match his size. He's not only relying on his size; he's also very good. Obviously, if he wouldn't be, you know, capable of doing a double-double. Against kids 2 years older than him at this level, but he does need to work on his inside footwork, and I think he still needs to get some athleticism. It just will help him down the road. The other main guy that I really like is owner Alp Bitim, who is leading the Turks in scoring, 16.7 points, Nice all-around game. Really like it. Slasher, driver, shooter. Hasn't really shot very well, but I think he probably shoots better. The 50% from the free throw line is a little bit alarming. But a good rebounder for his... a good rebounder. I think he's a decent ball handler. He's not great, but he's decent. And I like him a lot. There's nice, really nice skill set there. Obviously, you know, these kids are 16 years old. Obviously they need a lot of work. So that's a quick rundown, of some of the teams. You know, can't really say something on all of them because I, you know, haven't been concentrating only on that. But like I said, you know, it's, the games are on live and free, and, that is at tbftv.org. Go on over and check them out. Let's move on to the interviews. I had a chance to talk to Daniel Tice, from Bozo Baskets Bomberg. Both of the interviews are from Bomberg players. Had a chance to talk to Tice at the, after Bamberg's loss to Strasbourg in the regular season of the Euro Cup. So talked to him, and then also had a chat with their main guy, Brad Wanamaker. This was at the All-Star game, and it was before the All-Star game. So I did not have a chance to ask him about being named as the All-Star, but still some good stuff in that one. So first will be Daniel Tice, and then after that will be Mr. Brad Wanamaker. So enjoy those, and we will catch you on the other side of that. Daniel Tice, we're here, Euro Cup. Tough loss. The second time you guys lost to Strasbourg. You're doing pretty well in the Beko BBL. Thoughts about maybe where the team is right now, both in this competition and in the German league.
I mean, Strasbourg is a pretty tough team. They play really good defense both games, so we lost it in the third quarter, so now we try to focus on the mistakes we made and try to make it better in the next games.
How do you feel here in Bamberg? Obviously, the last 2 years, you were in Ulm after being in Braunschweig. Expectations are getting a little bit higher also for you. How do you feel here? You've been here now for whatever, 3 months. Talk about how you're feeling here, both in Bamberg and in the team.
The city is similar to Ulm, but like I said, the expectations are high here. We try to get better every week, so we had a tough start. We had like 10 new players, so now we try to find our rhythm. We do pretty well in the BBL. We had some bad losses in the first games, but now we're pretty well. Like I said, Strasbourg is a pretty tough team. They lost like 2 games in the whole season now. So we can live. We advance to the next round. So it's not like we lost the whole Euro Cup today.
How do you feel? I mean, you're able to put up some more numbers than you were in Ulm. Do you like how you're being used here? Is it something? How do you feel about your style of play that you're able to play here?
I think I made a step forward. So play consistent, like every game, not like one game good, 2 games bad, or whatever. So I feel pretty good. Like, coach used me with energy, hit some open shots, and just try to help my team.
Where do you feel your game? I mean, here it seems like you're, you know, especially when you play with Trevor together, it's a pretty scary athletic combo down low. How do you feel your game is developing right now?
Especially on my outside shot. If I make shots, it's easier to me to get inside, and then so the defender can't read my game so easy. So I try to make some shots, develop everything from outside and get inside. So try to make step by step every week and game.
You were in the States at the NBA in the summer league there. How important was that, maybe also for your confidence to, you know, go back there, you know, at least, you know, show some good signs there to come back here and maybe take that next step?
Well, a really good experience. Like, all the players are athletics, not just here, like a couple of players are athletic, so it was pretty nice to play there and take all the experience here, and especially with the confidence to play against NBA players, like to play NBA Summer League, so it helps a lot.
What was the biggest thing you took out of that whole experience?
I don't know, just play against athletic players and get some like some stuff from coaches like Sam Cassell. I had Al Harrington, so they try to help me and give me good advice.
Yeah. On Monday was the draw for the Eurobasket. You've been in the mix with the German national team, obviously with the everybody saying group of death, but you know it is what it is. But Serbia, Spain, Turkey, Italy, and Iceland. Thoughts about that group?
It's a really tough group. So now we try to find first to finish the season. After the season, we look forward. But Iceland. We gotta beat Iceland and maybe Turkey or Italy, but it's tough to play Spain and Serbia. But if we get all the players together, like Dan Schroeder, maybe Dirk Nowitzki came in, we got a pretty good team. So it's a long time till we play the Eurobasket, but it's tough, yeah.
Your end goal is to be in the tournament, I assume. What you need to do to get into that team?
Just play basketball and. Like, if your coach wants me in the team, I'm in there. If not, it's no problem, so that's it.
Yeah. You were... Just two more. And then, so you were in Braunschweig with Dennis. You were in the States and you saw Dennis there. You also have the agent, Ade. Thoughts about him and how he's really taken the next step with Atlanta?
He developed every week now. How his game, I think the summer really helped him to get some playing time. Now he brings it on the court in the NBA, so you see he put up numbers, points, steals, assists, so I'm really happy for him. And
would you like to play next to him someday or across from him, the other side on the NBA court?
First of all, we play in national team together, and I look forward for this too.
Last question, what does Bamberg need to do to get back to the top and maybe you know win a title, get to finals, whatever?
We got to win big games like today. That's it. If we play big games, we got to win it. We got a couple of big games coming up now, Saragossa, Adland, Berlin. So we got to win those. Then we got to. Then we can talk about titles. And
okay, fantastic. Thanks, man. Brad Wanamaker here at the All-Star Game. How's it feel to be recognized as one of the top players in the German Beko BBL?
Oh, it's great. It just shows that people recognize and see what you've done on the court. When you're constantly putting that hard work, you want it to pay off. And it's one of them things that's paid off for me.
You're coming up from Italy. You played in Italy and France. You know, where do you think you are? You know, at this level, where do you think the league is at? And you know, where your place is in it?
I think it's a pretty good league. It's tough. Every night is a tough matchup. Anything can happen, and that's always good for a league when going into a match. It's not always like, oh, this team is going to win or that team is going to win, because we have some surprise teams. I think our team is at a really good stage right now. We're running on a little wing streak, a seven-game streak, but it's a long year. There's a lot of time left, and we just have to stay focused.
What's it been like for you, knowing that you guys came in and were able to beat have the two other big teams come in, and you guys were really able to play good defense, which obviously is the main thing you guys want?
That's something our team preaches. Whenever we play defense and use our athleticism, we can be really good. And against them two teams, we did that, and we made some shots. Some shots were even bank shots. We made some lucky shots, but it was our night, and we had to see them guys again. So we can't be too happy with the wins.
Take us back a little bit to Philly. Philly's known for the Big Five and the Palestra. Mm-hmm. Do you remember watching that? Did you go to that? And what do you remember about the Big Five?
Oh, the Big Five was definitely something I used to watch. I actually wanted to play in the Big Five. I wanted to go to Temple of Villanova growing up, but my mom wanted me to get away from the city. But the Big Five was great. We had a lot of great guards there, a lot of bigs. It was just a great time when I was growing up to see all them great players come through. So it was always my dream to play in the Big Five.
Yeah, I mean, even Temple was still big at that time.
Yeah, for sure.
They've kind of since gone down, but
yeah, for sure, Temple as well. Even when I was in college at the University of Pittsburgh, I still was constantly watching, cheering on teams, and just wishing for because I had friends that went to them schools.
What were some of the guys you watched sort of seen as role models when you were growing up and sort of learning the game?
A guy from Philadelphia, I could say, is Kyle Lowry. Growing up, And when I was in middle school, he was in high school. And when I was in high school, he was in college. And he stayed local in Villanova, so it was always easy to watch this guy and just to see where he came from. Just watching him over the years, it was amazing. And now he's in the NBA. He should be an All-Star this year, but it was always great watching him and just learning from him, just playing with that toughness and that edge.
People know LA Hoops, people know Chicago, New York. You know, you look at the guys that were in that are from Philly. You know, there's Kobe, there's Butler, the Phoenix Morris twins, Dion Waiters, Hank Gathers, Bull Kimball, Kid Gilchrist, Marty Collins, Fisher, Hakeem Warwick.
Right.
How would you describe the Philly hoop scene?
Underrated.
Well, you look at those names, huh?
Yeah, very underrated. LA and New York is like the hotbed for players coming up, but Philly is so underrated. We have a lot of guys that get overlooked and they become playground legends. We have a lot of playground legends in Philly because them the guys that didn't get a chance and make it. But Philly is very underrated when it comes to basketball.
You were undrafted, even though you were at Portsmouth, where usually a lot of guys from there get a good look. Mm-hmm. What was your thought process after that, and how did you want to go and go about your time in Europe at the when you first came over?
It was a tough time for me because growing up, your whole career you dreamed of this day, and getting my name not called on draft night was tough. But I had to get over it and man up. And I came to Europe in my rookie year. I played on ones. I was with five different teams in my rookie year. And it was just tough. And I was just like, what is going on? But I stayed with it. I stuck with it. And I grinded it out. And I'm here now. I'm enjoying it. The NBA is still my dream. Hopefully one day I make it there, but I'm enjoying the European basketball right now.
You even got the D-League title though out of it as well, though.
Oh yeah, that D-League title was great. I mean, I was with a great group of guys there, and it was just after being with all them different teams my rookie year, it just was a stamp on it that gave me even more confidence and kept my faith.
We're at the All-Star game. You're on the international team. One of the guys you'll be playing with is Reggie Redding, also from Philly. Went to Villanova. You guys lost to them in the NCAA too. Sorry, I don't mean to bring up bad memories. When was the last time you actually played with him?
The last time I played with Reggie Redding.
And what's it going to be like being on the court with him now?
I can't remember. The thing about it is, people don't know, I went to Roman Catholic High School, mm-hmm. and he went to St. Joe's Prep High School.
Okay.
And we both was in the Catholic League, and we was rivals then. So my school,
even though he was a year older than you.
Yeah, my school didn't like his, they're scared like mine. Then we get to the University, Pittsburgh and Villanova, Big East, the battle. Our schools didn't like each other, but we always kept a friendship. I mean, when we see each other, we spoke. His parents, my parents, things like that. And to be here together is special, man. I tell my dad, I talk to my parents back home, and they just is like happy to see both of us accomplishing. But it's going to be fun out there. I'm going to enjoy it while I can, because once the BBL start back up, we rivals again.
Yeah. What was it like playing against him in the game there?
It was great just to see how far we came. Even when I'm watching him in the Euro League or against other BBL teams, I'm not rooting anymore. Just because he's from the same city as me, and just to see him make it out was good.
Maybe talk about how disappointed you are that the Big East, as it was, fell apart, and thoughts on that?
Yeah, very disappointed. The Big East was strong. To me, it was the best league in college basketball. But, I mean, they got to make their money. So some teams left and went to other conferences for football reasons. But the Big East was definitely the toughest conference and the best to me over the last 7-8 years.
Thoughts about NFL Philadelphia? I suppose you're an Eagles fan?
Oh, man, tough one for us this year. I mean, we had a good season going on, and our starting quarterback get injured. Mm-hmm. And we lose some games at the end of the year, and we just missed the playoffs. It's tough because I hate the Dallas Cowboys, and they're still in the playoffs. So it's tough right now, but hopefully we bounce back next year.
How many tattoos do you have? And is it like everybody says that, you know, they're children and everyone is your favorite, or do you have a favorite tattoo?
My favorite, I would say, North Philadelphia. Not have North Philly tattooed on me. It's just it's a place where I come from. It wasn't always the best, but I made it out. It showed me how to survive and how to make it in this world. So I mean, yeah, I have my kids on me and stuff like that, but that's very meaningful and never to forget where I came from.
Your brothers here, how many, I don't know how many All-Stars have twin brothers. He's playing Brighton Gusbach. How did that come about? Was that your idea, his idea, club's idea?
I mean, he came out because he had a few workouts with a few teams, and so happened it worked out this way. He just was around, and the team asked him to come play, and he went and played with the team, and they seen that he could really play. So, I mean, it's a situation where he's at, and he's going to work hard, and he's trying to get to the highest level.
How nice is it having him? I mean, you have the kids and your wife, and how nice is it to have him here too?
Oh, it's great because it gets somebody with another basketball mind, or another basketball player that knows the game, and he could tell me what I'm doing on the court, what I need to do, and vice versa. I mean, I get to go check him out soon, and I could tell him what things he need to do on the court.
How long did it take you to actually believe that Trevor runs the way he runs and that he doesn't trip over himself?
It's actually crazy because I seen him play in college, and then last year we played against each other, and it was funny because me and my teammates made some fun of him a little bit when we were watching him on film before we played him, and now he's my teammate. We still joke with him a little bit about it, but it's funny.
Best cheesesteak in Italy, in Philly. Where you go?
Max's. I go to Max's in Germantown area, or Ishka if it was on South Street. Those are my favorite two right now.
All right, I'll let you go with that. Thanks, man.
Okay, so if you're looking for a cheesesteak in Philly, there's where you need to go. So Bamberg are really cruising right now. They're on a 10-game winning streak right now. Still two games behind Berlin. Man, they really would love to get ahead of them, pull even with them, because they most likely are going to have the tiebreak. To try to avoid playing Bayern until possibly the finals. Right now, the playoffs would be top three seeds: Berlin, Bamberg, Bayern. Meaning Berlin, Bamberg and Bayern would play in the semifinals, which is obviously not something you want to do if you're Bamberg. Even though I think Bamberg is the best team in the league. So Bamberg definitely playing well. They're looking to secure a spot in the next round at the Euro Cup. They could do that. Bayern did pave their way last night, and Bamberg are looking to do that today. So I guess that's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Last thing I guess I need to do is let you know what you're going to listen to. And it is a song called Reality Show. And it's by a Portland-based band called Cervona. So enjoy that. Go check out the U16. Lots of good kids in that tournament. We'll catch you next week.
had never seen it before. Remember that there was the word in the beginning, but you need to smoke some to get its meaning. And then you start feeling really wonderful. But watch this, here he comes.
From ESPN College Basketball, you're listening to Taking the Charge